with Azealia Consuela Browning. The date is November 14th, 2002. We're at the Boom Center in Frankfort, Kentucky. The interviewer is Michael R. Jones. Ms. Browning, when and where were you born?
Indianapolis, Indiana, and I was born April the 20th, 1978.
Where did you grow up? Did you come to Kentucky when you were young, or?
I moved to Kentucky in December of 1985, and I've been here ever since.
Any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers and one sister.
Older, younger?
One older brother, one younger brother, and a younger sister.
Okay. What schools did you attend?
Well, I went to a school in Indianapolis until my freshman year of high school, and then that's when I relocated to Kentucky to a place called Harrodsburg High School, and I graduated from there in 1989.
What was your first exposure to the military? Did you have relatives who served, or?
Yes, I have a few cousins that's in the military. I have one cousin that's in the Air Force. She's been in 17 years. And then her brother is in the Guard. His name is Curtis Dunn, and he's a lieutenant colonel. He's right here on Boone Center. He's in the Guard. And so when I graduated in 1989, I decided I wanted to join the regular army, and I did for 3 years.
Did you have anything in particular you wanted to do when you went into service, or did you kind of go in open, or?
Well, I wanted to get money for college because I knew that my parents didn't have the money to send me. So that's why I went to the military, so I could pay for my way to go to school.
Okay. So where did you go when you went in basic training? Where did you start? In the army.
1989. I graduated in May, August the 14th, 1989. Mm-hmm. I departed for basic training.
Where did you go for basic?
Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Was it what you expected? Was it what you had heard? Or was it totally different? Was it? And how did you?
It was rough. It was really rough. I mean, they were a lot harder on us in basic training then than they are now. I mean, now I think they're a little softer than they were because of, you know, they have to. The rules are changing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, what was the makeup of your training class? Was it mostly white, good mixture, Hispanic,
a little bit of everything? Diverse. It was pretty diverse.
Did everybody get along?
Everybody had to get along.
Okay. What were some of the types of things that you all did? I mean, you ran, shooting.
Land navigation is what I hated.
Reading maps?
Yes, reading maps. And of course the gas chamber, that's terrible. Didn't like that. And then shooting. I did like to do that. Go to the range.
Okay.
Qualify. Some hand to hand combat. Discipline. Structure.
Okay. Did you know what you wanted to do in the Army, or did you just kind of go in?
Well, I kind of wanted to do something with communications, but I ended up falling into transportation,
okay,
which I did enjoy. In regular Army, transportation is a good job to have.
Okay. So when you finished basic training, did you go to school for that, for transportation?
Yes, AIT.
What was that?
Fort Dix.
Was that just like classes every day?
Yeah, classes every day for 8 weeks, and they're a little more lenient in AIT than they are in basic. You get a little more privileges.
Okay. Did you get to come home after basic?
No.
You went straight to school? Okay, well, what did your family think about you joining the military?
Well, my dad is all for it. My dad's like, go for it. My stepmom's like, why don't you sit out a year and make up your mind and see if that's really what you want to do? And my mom's like, it's strictly up to you.
So when you finished transportation school, mm-hmm, where did you go? What was your first assignment?
Fort Hood, Texas.
What was that like? And what kind of things were you doing?
I worked at the name of my company was 628 Transportation Company, and I was in a transportation battalion, which was good. But what we mostly done was delivered all over Fort Hood.
Okay.
We were type like the UPS.
Okay. And what year was this? What year did you go for?
1990.
Okay. Did you live on base?
Yes, I lived on base and I lived off base.
When you were in training and advanced training school, did you come across any other Kentuckians, or were there other Kentuckians around?
Yes, I did meet a few Kentuckians. Not a whole bunch, but a few.
Did you feel a connection? I mean, did you hang out with them, or was it just how you doing?
We kind of, you know, we would kind of like stick together and try to look out for one another as much as we could if we were from the same area.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
So how long were you at Fort Hood?
For 3 years.
So you did pretty much the same routine that whole time? Did anything change or?
Yes, I went, well, that's when that war started.
Okay. How did that process fall out? I mean, what did you all, I mean, and of course I know you've been hearing things and the news is talking about it, but for you, how did the military kind of get you involved? Or how did you get a notice saying you guys are on alert?
Well, what happened was I was in Harrisburg on leave visiting my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when the news come up about August the 2nd invasion of Kuwait. And
right.
So I was thinking, surely they're not going to, you know, put us on no type of alert. I don't have anything to worry about. Well, the day I went back to sign in was a good day because they told me if I had not signed in that day, they were calling everybody back off their leave, telling me we had just been put on alert. And,
okay. So from that point, how long before you actually
left?
Yeah.
I left in October.
When was that?
October of 1990.
That you got the notice?
August.
So from August to October, did you guys go into like intense training or just preparation?
Preparation. Pretty much making sure we would do our training, make sure our people, family care, mm-hmm. plan, and, you know, all the stuff to get you ready to go in case, you know.
So you left in October.
October.
Where did you arrive and where did you go?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we flew over on a commercial flight, which is good.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking, once I got there, I want to say I flew into the port of Daman.
Okay.
And it was about a 19-hour flight. And it was a good flight. I mean, we didn't have any trouble. And it was nice. As soon as we stepped off the plane, I could tell the difference. Just the climate.
Okay. Extremely hot.
Extremely hot.
So you all, once you unloaded, where did you go to a set destination, or were you moving around a lot, or?
We moved around quite a bit over there, because at first we were attached to the 7th Transportation Group, and I think at that time they were out of Germany, and then we were attached to the 3rd ACR, and that's actually the patch that I wear on my uniform, the combat patch of the 3rd. Armory Cavalry Regiment, which is out of Fort Bliss, they were.
So this is October.
October.
You guys are setting up. What was it like? I mean, just the time.
Well,
did you pass your time? Were you training?
Training, and guard duty, and, you know, a lot of training. Couldn't get enough training. And of course, over there, we even had a mission. Transportation was a big thing because we had to do that. Fuel, the water, the food, even bodies, POWs, you know.
What was the mood of your comrades? I mean, was everybody upbeat?
Well, then when we first got there, it was, you know, everything was pretty good. And I guess probably about a month later, one of the soldiers in my unit had gotten killed, and I even have it in this letter. I was going to try to open it up to see, but it was probably, I think, about a month after I'd gotten over there, he had gotten killed, so that kind of started our morale off to a bad start.
Mm-hmm. But once, did you know him?
Yes, I knew Calloway. I'll never forget him.
So, things kind of got a little somber, maybe, or just not as upbeat. Up until the time when it actually kicked off, so you were just kind of doing what you normally do as far as transportation, moving supplies. Did you all have a set base of operations?
No, not really set, no.
Okay.
Like different units would need us to support their mission,
mm-hmm.
so sometimes we would have to go support them.
Okay.
And then we had to, of course, support our own company, whatever they may have needed. So each day it was different commitments. I mean, you just never knew. You had to check with your NCOIC to see what was.
So I guess you went on a regular 9-to-5 schedule.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
To sleep to 9 was a blessing.
So, did you all know prior to the kickoff? I mean, did they give you notice saying it's going on, it's going down in 24 hours, or?
Well, we kept hearing, you know, that January was going to be the day.
Mm-hmm.
January was going to be the month. And so we were kind of, you know, thinking, oh, you know, because we kind of sat over there for a while, nothing happened. Then we were like, you know, is something really going to be done or what? And then when they gave us the month, they said January. I can't remember the exact day. Then, you know, we started thinking, you know, this is serious. We need to buckle down. Of course, going through the holidays kind of made it rough.
Right. So when the war started, what did things change for you all as far as what your mission was?
Yes. When the war started, our supplies had to be the demanding supplies. It couldn't be just like leap stuff that's less dominant, I'd say.
Throughout that time, were you in contact with somebody at home when you last seen? You got some letters there.
Yes, I was in contact with my parents, my stepmom, my dad, my mom, my grandmother, my grandfather, and friends. And I was even surprised that a teacher that taught me in my high school, he had put 3 of our names up on the blackboard for the students to pick one of them to write to.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin just happened to be in that class. And of course, he chose me, and I wished I had that letter, but I don't.
Okay. Well, what was their mood in their letters to you? Were they really worried, or?
Just worried, and like, we're praying for you, and just, you know, giving us, trying to boost our morale.
Now, what were you thinking? Were you just concentrating on your work, or did you think, gosh, what if I, what's going to happen?
I was thinking along those kinds of like, you know, is this really going to be it? You know, and you know, you just never know. I was hoping that I wouldn't be a casualty because, like I said, we lost one before the war even got started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we lost some more once the war got started. I think we may have lost one after the war, I think. So, you know, I think one time what really opened my eyes is a patriot. Mm-hmm. A scud was headed right for our location, and our Patriot missile intercepted it, and we saw it blow up in the sky.
Our
chemical on, and we were putting our mask on, and it was pretty hysterical that day.
Okay, so let's kind of move on a little bit towards the end, but it didn't last long. So when things had settled, or hostilities, I guess it ceased, did your mission change again, or? Just more, you guys. What happened next?
Towards the end, yes, the mission changed a little bit because, like I said, that, you know, the things that were more dominant had to be done then. I mean, only certain things could be supplied. You couldn't just get whatever you wanted. There was a demand. And then
a priority. Okay.
Right, priority.
Afterwards, did you all leave immediately? Did you have to hang around?
I came home in May of 1991. I think it was May the 6th.
What was that like, coming back home? Did you get to go back to Harrisburg or just come back to your base first?
I went back to my base first, and then after that you put in for leave, and of course they would approve it, you know.
Pretty quick. What was it like to go back home?
To me, just to fly back home to the United States, period, was a blessing. I mean, that's what really makes me love my country the way I do, because, I mean, it would take for you to go to another country to see how people live for you to appreciate your own.
Was there a homecoming party?
Actually, there was. Anytime people get deployed and they come back, they have a group of people that's kind of set up to have like a welcoming home type, you know, party for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was real nice. And of course, none of my family was there because it was in Fort Hood, Texas.
Right.
But there were people that I'd known, like some of the wives of the soldiers that was over there with us. And of course, we didn't all get to come back as a whole. They brought you back in different little panels.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How long had you been in the Army at this point? went in 80, 2 years?
2 years.
Was it what you expected? I mean, you got, I guess you weren't really planning on going to a war, but had you thought about this point at staying in, or were you planning to do your 3 years and get out? What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking I went in for a GI Bill and I got a GI Battle.
but I mean, did you still want to get out after your 3 years? At that point?
At that point, well, to a degree, I wanted to get out because I felt like that we were going to run into this problem again.
Well, what made you change your mind? Because you're still in.
Well, actually, I'm still in. I got out of the regular Army in, like I said, 1992 of August.
Okay.
And I joined the Guard, and I've been in the Guard since 1992.
1992, okay. Well, did you go back to school, or?
Yes, I went to school. I have an associate's degree in medical assisting. And I've made, rank pretty good, and I have a little girl. I do miss the regular Army. Sometimes I wish I had stayed in, and sometimes I even think about going back in, but, when you're a single parent, it makes it difficult.
What's your current rank?
Now, E5 Sergeant.
Okay. Well, do you plan to retire from the Guard, or?
I hope to. I'm actually an AGR, which is Active Guard Reserve, and that counts all your active duty time. So the 3 years that I was active, that counts towards my AGR job. So I have about 4 years now, and I have 16 more years to work, and then I can retire.
Okay. Just I want to get some maybe general comments about the military in general. What do you think of the Army as a just as an institution? Do you think it is there's a level playing field for men, women, for minorities? Do you see any racism anywhere? Things like that.
Yes, you do see racism because it is everywhere. But I do think the military is very diverse, and that's what I love about it. And it, as we speak, it's getting more and more diverse, from the regular Army to the Guard to probably every branch. And that's one thing that I do like about it, because it needs to get, it needs to become more diverse.
Any other comments or any other things you'd like to say? About your experiences? You've had a positive experience with the military.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it for people coming out of school who aren't really sure what they want to do, or you think it is a good place to start?
I think it is. I mean, let it be your decision. I wouldn't want to force anybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to have their own say. And if you're unsure, this is a good place to come and help you get some direction and, discipline if you need it. Or, It's really helped me. I'm really glad I joined. I'm glad I didn't wait, because had I waited, I probably wouldn't have joined.
Okay, well, this concludes our interview. Ms. Browning, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and I look forward to incorporating you into the exhibit. Thank you.
Thank you very much.